Yes, we are. The Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9. The Game with Allie Mack, Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan, Dylan hanging out behind the glass. And we do have some SEC superlatives to hand out in a moment. But can I just remind you guys of a fair or foul question from last week?
Okay.
Fair or foul? We will see Micah Parsons playing week one in a Cowboys jersey.
Wow.
What'd you guys say?
We both said fair. I would guarantee you. Guarantee you.
You know, and I didn't really have a feeling on it until I watched the series on Netflix about the Dallas Cowboys, and I got to know Jerry Jones very well.
Do you get the Charles Haley moment? Where...
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Maybe Micah Parsons pulled a Charles Haley. I don't know.
But Could when
be.
They.
Well, let me tell you, that's the only time Charles Haley's been reported that he's pulled that out in an office. He apparently was notorious for that in meetings.
It was more so the Jimmy Johnson scuffle that I was like, you know, I could see this not working out for Micah.
Real quick, before we get to SEC's prelims, I have a question around the Micah Parsons thing. Do y'all think, I mean, why was Jerry so against talking to the agent? Because that seemed like that was the breaking point in all this, right? The fact that he wouldn't negotiate with the agent, right?
He felt betrayed. This is the way I've taken it, that he felt like that him and Micah, right or wrong, in you know, illegal or not, based on the CBA rules, that they'd hashed it out, and that the agent should have just drawn it up the way they negotiated it, but the agent wanted to change it. And, dude, I mean, it's – and now you've, you know, this agent, David Mulugeta, or whatever his name is, like, he's got a few clients. So it's now one where it's kind of like with the Braves and Scott Boras.
So I think if you've followed Jerry Jones, you've gotten to know him a little bit. You know he's a very proud man. And so he's just going to dig his heels in on something that he feels strongly about. So now Micah will be going to the Green Bay Packers for two first-round picks and defensive tackle Kenny Clark. Dallas fans in general have had it rough. I mean, they lost Luka. Now they've got Micah. And Micah's going to get a four-year, $188 million deal.
Which one of those guys is a better player in his sport?
Hmm.
Which one of those guys means more to their
well,
league?
Here's the thing. It's hard to compare, because in basketball, one elite player can truly change your team's path, right? Sure. An elite player can make you a top three or four team in the league where you can go, you know, deep into a playoff run. How many playoff games have the Cowboys won with Micah Parsons?
None. And here's the thing. I think the consensus is going to be that most people are going to hate on Jerry Jones for this today. I'm like, I don't blame him. I don't necessarily blame him. He's had this group of three players that have taken up half of his salary cap, or that were about to take up half of his salary cap. He's had them for 3 years. What, 4 years? Like, it's not like he, you know, was trying to keep some kind of Super Bowl winning core intact here.
Here's the problem for me. It's bad business all the way around. Might be a bad decision as far as making the trade, but you could have done this before the draft. You could have saved face. You wouldn't have had this, you know, this hanging over the franchise for this entire time. You could have got a player this year in the draft, right? And that could have been one of the draft picks. It could have been done before now, and it would have worked out way better for everyone involved, and it would have looked better. That doesn't mean I don't disagree with what you're saying. They've never won a playoff game with Micah Parsons. Now he was going to get, like, he's looking at $47 million a year. I don't know how you operate. I mean, I know the cap's going up. That's a ton of money.
That's half. If he'd have gotten that money from the Cowboys, that's half their salary cap wrapped up in three players, which is crazy. Crazy, specifically when you add in Trevon Diggs, who's the fourth. That's just nuts.
With this news breaking that Micah was traded, obviously conversations were going on. And there was that moment at that preseason game where someone asked Micah if he would come to Atlanta. He said, call me.
Yeah.
Is there any chance that Terry and Raheem, even for a moment, no, they probably had some inkling that conversations were going on about a trade. Is there any chance they talked about it?
I would have to assume. I hope so.
Well, yeah, you talk about everybody that's available. Hey, how would this look for us?
Yeah.
And, probably they called They probably made it. I mean, I would assume that they had talked. I'd like to think that they had inquired early on in this process, like during free agency.
Mm-hmm.
Are you guys? Y'all? No, we're not moving on. Okay, all right. I bet Dallas called. I mean, there's a chance Dallas called them.
Yeah.
But then again, does Dallas? What compensation is Dallas want? They wanted a player. So what player would they take that would be a Kenny Clark type player? I mean, and then you look at they got two first round picks. Well, that had to wait a year.
Yeah, we don't have the compensation for that.
Yeah, I don't think we have the compensation, and I don't think we have the money.
Right.
I know people say, well, you can make the money work. You're right. You can make the money work, but it you do free up with Kirk Cousins. It's a harder trade for Atlanta to make because of the draft picks that they don't have.
It was shocking, nonetheless, when all of that broke yesterday. I could not believe it. But nonetheless, we got to move on to the SEC. We're going to be handing out superlatives throughout the show today. I think we have time for one or two maybe right now. Let's start with newcomer of the year. Of all the teams, of all the coaches, of all the players, who's the newcomer of the year?
Well, the easy answer is Arch Manning, right? That's the obvious. Well, sure. But I'm gonna go to one. I know if Abe Gordon's on his run or whatever, he's going to be smiling from here. I'm going to Oklahoma's John Mateer.
Yep.
Because, look, he comes in highly touted. Oklahoma has one of the best. They had one of the best defenses last year. Their offense was, I'll just say it, they were pathetic, Mike. They had injuries across the offensive line. They couldn't get consistent quarterback play. I think the wide receiver depth was an issue last year, if I'm not mistaken. So now you go to Oklahoma and, like, okay, you get the signal caller with that kind of defense. Venables has what he wants defensively. He's already had a bad year, a good year, and a bad year. Now if he truly got the signal caller right, they're in for a big year.
Yeah, I had John Mateer written down as one of my options as well. I think you're right. You know, not only do you bring over him, but you bring over that offense coordinator, Arbuckle, I believe it is, that was with him at Washington State. It's a top 15 offense. I think he's going to come in and light it up. I had a stat for John Mateer that he was the number one quarterback in the country last year. Everybody thinks of, like, looks at his passing stats. Number one quarterback in the country last year, missed tackles, forcing missed tackles. Just insane the athleticism he brings, fits right into that system. Again, the system is coming with him, so it's not something he's learning. It's very much kind of like Diego Pavia at Vanderbilt, like just installing the same system with the quarterback coming along. So I think that's a good one. I went with Elo Madozi, the Army transfer that's at Georgia, the edge rusher.
Yeah, it's a good
one. Dude. I've watched tape on this guy from Army. He's a third-year player. It was a freshman back in 2023. He's 250, 6'4", 6'5". He fits perfectly what I think they need down there defensively, and you know he's going to get coached up to the absolute tippy top of his strengths. I think he is going to be an absolute terror in the backfield for a lot of these opposing coaches and offenses that go against Georgia this year.
Can I touch on another one real quick that's really outside of the box? Ryan Grubb.
It's a good one.
That's the OC at Alabama, for those that might not be familiar. Ty Simpson, it's weird calling Arch Manning a newcomer. That's why I was like, that's kind of an obvious, but I'm not going to go.
Sure.
But Ryan Grubb could step in, and him and Kalen DeBoer could be so in sync, and Ty Simpson could fit more of what they want to do so much that you're going to hear Ryan Grubb. Again, this is best case scenario if you're an Alabama fan, but you could get to the end of the year and say, well, it's great we had Ryan Grubb for 1 year because he's gone now he's going to be a head coach.
I think it's a great point, and I just from listening to people in the Alabama circle, it's not even about his system. It's kind of about the demeanor he brings because he's kind of the mean guy to Kalen DeBoer's nice guy act. Like, he's just been chewing guys out at practice and, you know, yelling a lot and things like that. It's way more animated. And since he got a bonus pick, can I give one too?
Go for it.
How about our guy Singleton that transferred from Georgia Tech to Auburn this year? Eric Singleton.
Yeah.
He is absolutely electric. I thought it was a massive loss for Georgia Tech. I mean, I would think, and not that we don't think highly of Georgia Tech right now in this room. We've been talking about it for about a month now. But I think in terms of just losing his athleticism, his output, and getting installed into a system that should be pretty friendly for him, Ken Coleman on the other side and a pretty good offensive line, I think that he's one of those guys that can really uplift Auburn this year and do some really, really good things inside of that offense. So I think he's terrifying in a lot of different ways. And I hate that he's not at Georgia Tech and at Auburn, because I'll be pulling for Georgia Tech all year. And obviously Auburn is not my best friend. So it kind of is what it is.
Well, our next superlative is kind of like a big, broad question. So I just want to get you guys to start thinking about it. And we don't have to land on anything right now. But which team would blow up the SEC with one upset?
I'm glad we have, you know, just a few seconds to talk about this, because the process I went through to try to find this, like there's only a finite amount of opportunities to actually blow up the SEC,
yeah.
Right? And I know that there's a bunch of categories. We'll kind of chop it throughout the year. But like you start looking at, okay, what team could actually pull off a win like this? But what team is not like actually at the top right now? You know, that we're not going to blow it up with one win. So the process to actually get to the top of that one, as I'm doing my research, it was kind of like, You have to find specific situations in specific categories for that.
Yeah, the blow it up thing, it's really hard, because you want to go with an obvious like Vanderbilt or something like that. But what I did was I was looking at what team has one of the harder schedules that they could completely change who's in the championship game with one win.
That's what I did. And I hope we don't have the same one. This is going to stink if we have the same one.
I mean,
exactly what I thought of it as.
Because I've, well.
Which team could knock somebody else out and with the same win put themselves into that conversation? That's exactly how
Yeah, well, you could, and you could go about, you really could go with about three or four teams.
Yeah, there's some out there.
Well, at 7 a.m., we're going to pick this back up. We're going to be lining up SEC head coaches as well with Bachelorette contest, the stereotypical guys you see on that show.
So good.
But coming up next, you felt that little crisp twinge in the air today. That means it is time for college football. We've got your preview on the way, plus my Allie Mac drop. We're going to play Tailgate, Truth or Lie. That's next on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and the
Odyssey app.